Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Tuesday, April the 30th. And this is Showdown, of course. And we're on our way, headed towards the 1st of May. And as we wind through the week, we watch Donald wind his way into oblivion. No response from the peanut gallery over there. That's okay. That's all right. No, I was just playing. Anyway, he is headed for oblivion, however, but I sort of exaggerated just a touch, but not an exaggeration of what's happening to the man, because we can see what, for example, the judge did today. But of course, if you're listening to Fox, you wouldn't even know that. You would think, for example, maybe the weather is changing a little bit. You wouldn't know anything, but that's all right. You don't need to know. You don't need to know about the $9,000 fine. I understand that's nothing for Donald. Of course, he can steal it from people who eat dog food and send in a dollar at a time. So a dollar at a time times 9,000. So that's 9,000 people eating dog food and sending in their money. Excellent. That is really, that's going to save the man. Well, for 10 minutes anyway. Anyway, that's where we are. And the judge said the following, but see, people on Fox don't know this. The judge said, and by the way, one more time, and you're going to jail. And here's the thing, we know that he's going to do it one more time. We know he will. He can't control himself. In fact, it's so amazing. He demanded today that the gag order be ended. He demanded it. Isn't that cute? Anyway, if he breaks the gag order one more time, Judge Mershon says he's going to jail. And I will not be surprised, because I've always said, number one, he's going to jail, and I've always thought it would be sooner rather than later. And this would be a different way than maybe a lot of people anticipated, but 30 days in jail would be just long enough to wrap up this trial, and then he could get his sentence. You know, when you listen to the things that he says, for example, running around today talking about how the women are doing all of these things to him. It's not him. It's all of these women who have risen up to get him. But it seems to me that the guy who is heard on the Access Hollywood tape explaining what it is that he does to women, oh, maybe that was a body double with a really good voice imitation. That might be it. That might be it. What about the rape? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's just the American legal system found him to have raped a woman. But that's, we don't have a picture of it happening. So here we go. Tomorrow, of course, is silent in the courtroom, because Judge Mershon, being the good man that he is, goes out into the community and does various kinds of community service on Wednesdays. Then on Thursday, he'll be back pushing this in the other direction. You know, it's so funny that all of these people come into the courtroom, and one by one, they all tell their story of how the conspiracy developed. The conspiracy, of course, to hide the payments, which would be illegal because they violate campaign finance laws. You see, Vic, I'm becoming like Joe Biden.
Oh my God.
I messed up a word, you know. So anyway, no, but really the conspiracy is so complete and so well explained in the courtroom. And according to Donald, all of these things happened and he knew absolutely nothing. Never heard of these people. Soon enough, he'll be saying he never heard of Cohen, some low-level lawyer working for someone else that once knew him, something like that. No, this is all coming down to about 4 weeks from now, which will be the end of this trial. It's rapidly here. In this entire conversation, well, I guess we'll switch to Donald running from prison. And one thing was answered yesterday, which I found interesting, and I wondered as well. I mean, people had asked the question, and no one seemed to know the answer. And the question was, what happens to the Secret Service when Donald goes to jail? A lot of people said he'll have to stay home. They'll put an ankle bracelet on him and all this other business. But it turns out that there's actually a way that this works, that if he goes to jail, the Secret Service ends. It's done. He no longer has Secret Service once he goes into the jail. And then he becomes just another prisoner. So we don't even have to worry about what to do with them. I mean, there was some talk about where do they go? Do they wait in the jail? Do they just hang around? No, they're done. He loses his Secret Service. It's over. Now, maybe he gets it back after a few years when they let him out. But no, there's no problem here. They can easily give him 4 years. Of course, it would be concurrent. So that's nice. I mean, he doesn't have to have 4 years times 34. He just would probably have 4 years, and then that's the end of it. And then I guess he might get his Secret Service back at the end. In fact, I want to be the first person to suggest that we get him his Secret Service when he gets out of there, because I don't want anything to happen to the man. I really don't. Honestly, I don't. It's just the thought of him getting close to any kind of power, that would be pretty sad. But it's nothing to worry about, because whatever the overall polls show for the moment, women are still 60 to 35 in favor of Joe Biden. 60 to 35 women. There's no way with those numbers that Donald could win. Not to mention the fact, I know Donald thinks he's going to get all these black votes. Oh, black people just love him. Huh, that's so silly. Not to mention half the black people are women, and women don't like him. So he's going to get 8%. He'll get his usual 8%. That's what Republicans get from black voters. So here we go. This will be over relatively fast. And like I say, 4 weeks. And then we're really going to know the basic outline of how this entire mess ends. Because the only way he could survive is to get past that jury. That's the only way. And he won't. So that's pretty much the end of that. And there's some other theories about what might happen, for example, in the Washington, D.C. case. So, you know, none of this is over by a long shot. And in fact, the only thing that Donald has that possibly could work slightly in his favor is the economic situation. Not that it's bad, because it's not, but because if stock prices were to drop, and they could, Donald would be screaming from the top of the tower that somehow he could save the day. And there are some people who would believe that. That might get him a couple of votes. It wouldn't offset the women, but it might help him a little bit. And finally, let me say, if the markets were to drop and they fell, let's say in May and June, well, that would be probably a bad result for Donald, because July, August, September could be recovery months, and that would be a disaster for DJT. By the way, his stock was up again today, up into the mid to upper 40s. And hey, that's a nice bounce. You know what we call that? I'll tell you what we call that in the business. We call that a dead cat bounce. You know what a dead cat bounce is? You take a cat up to the top of Trump Tower and you drop it. And at the bottom, it will bounce just a little bit, just a tiny bit. Now, this isn't a Christie Nome kind of a deal. This is very theoretical. We're not killing cats, but they've been saying this on Wall Street for 100 years. I didn't make it up, so just relax. But a dead cat bounce is when prices plunge and then you get a little bounce and that's it. So that's about what Donald has to look forward to in his future as far as his monetary possibilities. The $9,000, that won't get him. The 30 days in jail, the next time that he busts up the gag order, that could get him. Yeah, Michael says he has to delete posts from his untruth social. I can't even believe that he named it that. It's so childish. Truth social. I mean, just foolishness. I suppose, you know, somebody on his side thinks that's brilliant. But the fact is, the participation in that thing, whatever it is, has been negligible. It's all Donald. That's who it is. He says whatever he wants on there and people read it. Last year, he lost $58 million. And so far in 3 years, he has had $5 million in revenue. Honestly, the man is such a loser. It is so obvious. Okay, enough of him for a minute. I want to talk about the protests on campus some more. And let me also say that I am working on getting some people from the various campuses on the air. One problem is that a number of the people who would perhaps speak are currently in jail. And look, this is a complicated problem. You know, my brother called in at the end of the show last night. He's all worked up over what he thinks is my support for Palestinians, which, honestly, I support the opportunity for Palestinians to have a decent life separated from Israelis so that they can live their way and the Israelis can live their way, and both sides can be safe. Now, I understand Israel is not planning to bother any Palestinians if left alone. You leave Israel alone, they will not touch you. I have to admit, when I look at what Israel has done to those cities, in Gaza. I honestly am amazed that anybody could cause that kind of damage without using nuclear weapons. I mean, they have pulverized Gaza. Michael writes, Egypt has plenty of land that they could give them. Well, even if that's true, Michael, no Arab country or any Middle Eastern, North African, anybody, none of those countries for the last 70 years have wanted to do anything to help the Palestinians. Nothing. They have hoped that maybe the Palestinians would be in a position to hurt Israel enough so that it would suit the desires of some of these Arab countries. Sure. But they weren't willing to step up for a moment to support anybody from Palestine. And they certainly have not wanted to allow any Palestinians in their countries. I mean, this has gone on for decades. It's not an afterthought. It's not a consideration. It's a fact. Nobody wants to help them. I think the irony is that the one country that would help them is Israel. Israel would help them. I understand Israel's in no mood to help them today. After babies had their heads cut off, women were raped and shot in the head, and then 250 hostages were taken out of the country. So I'd say, yes, Israel is plenty angry. Michael says, and if you say Egypt doesn't want them, why would Israel want them? Israel doesn't want them, but Israel's willing. Maybe not today, not today, but Israel's willing overall to set up a separate state, which would be guaranteed to leave Israel alone. That's the key. That's what Israel wants. Israel doesn't care what happens over there. Israel would let them have all the money from America they could get, and America would send them billions. We send billions to Israel. We send billions to Egypt. We would send billions. Billions to the Palestinians. The United States will rebuild Gaza. I guarantee you that day will come. It won't be the Chinese. It certainly won't be the Russians. Where would they get any money? Right. Yeah, Charles says, the babies with their heads cut off. Well, exactly. You cut off a bunch of babies' heads, nobody's willing to give you anything, of course, except for what they've been given. Yeah, pulverizing their cities. That's what they were given in return for cutting off babies' heads. But listen, Israel doesn't want that. That is not what they're interested in. The problem is the Palestinians are still thinking about something which they might as well stop thinking about: getting back the territory in Israel. That's never going to happen. The United States is not giving back Texas to Mexico. The United States isn't giving New York to some Native Americans. The United States isn't giving back any of its territory, and neither is Israel. And anybody who can't understand why Israel got that territory in the first place is lost in space. Well, Michael says, what do you mean give back? That was never their land. Listen, whatever land they lived on, where some Israelis are living now, is land that they think they own and want back. It doesn't matter. They're not getting it. What they need is some land of their own. The world gave Israel all that land. They set us up. The Jewish state, they set it up in 1949. And believe me, there was some arguing over that at the time. United States, Great Britain, you know, everybody had different ideas about when it was going to start and where it was exactly going to be. I mean, we can't live in the Bible. We got to live here. So, you know, there's some geopolitical realities that have to be addressed. And one of them is that you've got all these people that live in Palestine and they have to have a place to live. And here's the problem. And I've talked about this for several days now. If we went on the basis that we only gave land and money to people who acted appropriately, then we would have never given anything to either Germany or Japan. Because if anybody deserved to have nothing, it would have been Germany and Japan. How could you have been worse? How could you have been more torturous? Not possible. For every head that was cut off by Palestinians on October 7th, add up what Hitler did. So, I mean, it's a horrible way to make a comparison, but, you know, if you're talking about who deserves money, certainly the least deserving would be Adolf Hitler's people. They would deserve nothing. Every person who raised their hand, like Dr. Strangelove in Stanley Kubrick's movie from 1963, every one of those people should get nothing. There's a great film the United States government created in like 1946. Right in that area, 46, 47. And they said, just remember, every time you put your hand out to shake their hands, the Germans, you're shaking the hands that heiled Hitler. So when you start talking about what do the Palestinians deserve, or what was their territory, or what's fair, you just got to be careful, because the reality is every Palestinian did not desire for what happened to take place. And the people who did it, I mean, I'm sorry to say, they did it. It is done. I remember when Michael Jordan's father died, some guy killed him at some truck stop on the side of the road somewhere, and some people interviewed Jordan, and they said, what would you like to happen to those guys or that person or whatever? And his answer was very simple. Anything that would get his father back, he would do. He'd do anything if it would get his father back. But outside of that, he just said he wasn't wasting any time because, unfortunately, it had been done. So the reality is the world needs to be a safer place. And I have said this for decades. If we don't give Palestine a free and safe place to live, with the opportunity to make money and take care of their families forever, the same way the Israelis do, it'll never be right. And there is an article today in the brand new issue of Foreign Affairs magazine. And the name of the article is Israel's Forever War. And the writer talks about the importance of solving the problem as opposed to managing the problem. No one has managed this problem. We have managed this problem into a new war in 48, 56, 67, 72, 80, keep on going, 2024. It doesn't end and it won't end as long as we keep trying to manage it as opposed to solving the problem. And we know how to solve the problem. We just do. We did it after World War II. And that's the amazing thing. Now I'll go back to my dear friend Donald Trump and his lunatics. Because you know what they want to do? They want to separate us from the entire world and say, we'll take care of ourselves. You take care of you. We did that after World War I. And it came back to bite us 20 years later in the worst way imaginable. But the end of World War II, Cordell Hull, George Marshall, Harry Truman. I mean, these people came up with a brilliant idea for how to establish a safe and fair world order. And it has held for 75 years, 1949. 75 years. That's when NATO was formed. 1949. And here we are with NATO today, originally 12 countries, now 32 countries protected under the umbrella of NATO. It is genius. And the sad part is, and you can read it, you should read it, back in 2010, in a conference in Lisbon, we came so close to putting Russia into NATO. That would have been incredible, but we couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Nobody could pull the trigger. It didn't happen. Really, you take all the countries of the world and put them together, working together, protecting each other, wouldn't be a bad idea. But it didn't work. We tried in 2010, but we do have the ability to protect ourselves from Russia. And certainly we're protected from China unless the Chinese get the idea that we don't care what happens beyond our border. That's the bad part of this. If China thought for a minute that we'd back away and just let them take Taiwan and anybody else in the world, they'd be on the march. But they're not going to do it because they want to do something more important. They want to buy and sell goods with the world. That's their goal. And as long as they want that, we're in pretty good shape with China. And believe me, that's another story, which I'm not going to even waste my time on tonight. Don't have all that much time. But I can tell you that we made such a mess out of China. What a shame. That's the one place that we messed up. Because when we were solving Germany and Japan, we turned a great friendship with China into a disaster. They had been our friends. You know, in the 1940s, early 1940s, we sent the Flying Tigers to China to fight the Japanese for China. Even when the United States didn't really want to do it, we sent these flyers who were really independent on their own, and they went to support China because we were still in that isolationist thing right before December 7th. But after that, okay. But, you know, we were friends with China during the war also. And then comes the end of the war, and we lose our minds because Mao is a communist. What morons. We did it perfectly in Germany and Japan. Of course, we did it horribly in Moscow and Beijing. Can't get it all right. They didn't. George Kennan knew what to do. He tried to tell them. They wouldn't listen. They really wouldn't. And here's the thing. You imagine, just look at our country today. Our country doesn't know what's happening this afternoon across the street from the courthouse where Donald Trump is being tried for his crimes, for his first crimes. We know nothing. So imagine how many people out here know anything about the history of the United States, China, Russia, Germany, and all of Europe. It's ridiculous. We know nothing. So with such limited knowledge, how could you even imagine that we would come to some kind of a solution here? We can't. We can't agree on anything because we don't know anything. But I know one thing. I know where you can get a fabulous meal tonight and every night. And that's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And that's Wendy's, which is a great restaurant with wings and smoked meats, baby back ribs, onion rings, patty melts, hamburgers, pizza, good pizza, great pizza. It's a great atmosphere with fun people and a wonderful owner. Ben is there. Wendy's is great. That is definitely a fabulous place to eat, and I hope you'll try it. And if you try it and you love it, guess what? Another Wendy's is coming in Defiance, Missouri. Not too long. You know how time flies. It'll be here soon. So that's Wendy's in Defiance is coming. And also, right here, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. Great food, great people. Wendy's, you'll love it. Okay, jewelry. 4506 Hampton. That is a great place to buy jewelry, to take your gems, to have any kind of new jewelry designed for you. If you've got a watch that needs to be fixed, bring it to Jewels on Hampton. If you want to buy and sell coins and other jewelry that you have, go to 4506 Hampton, to Jewels on Hampton. Al is there with his son, AJ. They've got a great jewelry store. It is loaded with fine jewelry. You will love it. You really will. Just go there, see what you think. Say hi to Al. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. Finally, what a clothing store. What suits? At Suits, St. Louis Suits Company in Clayton. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. It is so good. I'm trying to even rename it, but honestly, 29 years, they've been doing fine. They don't need my changing of names. The St. Louis Suit Company is a great place to go. You'll love it. First of all, the ties are extraordinary. They really are. And they're $5. But they're beautiful ties. And you can see my tie. I know Joe just threw up that sign, but you can still see it out on this end. On this end. There you go. You can see it. I mean, it's a great tie. It is silk. And it's $5. You can't beat it. And it's beautiful. And if you paid 20 or 30 or 40 for it, you'd still love it, but you're going to pay five. That's the St. Louis Suit Company. It's at the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. And I promise you, you'll find great suits there, along with the ties and shirts and shoes. And the only thing that they haven't got, I mean, they've got everything. They probably even have food from Wendy's there or something, but the one thing that Jay and Nick don't have, Chucks. They don't have any Chucks. That's okay. They got everything else. Anyway, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, you will love them. Jay and Nick, wonderful people with a wonderful suit company that has been there for 29 years. So, you know, we've talked about the protesters. We always talk about Donald. Anywhere you go, you end up talking about him. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. People say, why does it have to always be Donald? Well, because the country is in extreme danger, and he is the danger. You know, if you had a meteor that was working its way towards collapsing into Earth, I assure you, every day we'd be talking about the meteor. You wouldn't say, you know, today we don't have to talk about the meteor. Oh, it's coming to get us. We'll all be dead. But nah, we're not going to talk about that. See, that's not how it works. Donald is a gigantic danger to this country, to democracy. In fact, you know, I don't know what your television service is like, but I have AT&T DirecTV, and I really haven't had any problems with it. And I had Spectrum for a long time when it was Charter, and that was the worst thing I ever had. But I can tell you right now that AT&T, that's been good. It's really been very good. But here's what I love. Unlimited taping of anything. So I've got all the political shows all the time. And if I tell you right now that you should go tonight to last night's Rachel Maddow show, see, you could just go right there. Wouldn't have to push any buttons or do anything crazy. You just go there and click it and you're on. Because she talked last night about the people in this country, in the Republican Party, who are saying that they want to end democracy. This is the Republican Party. And believe me, these aren't fringe people that nobody ever heard of. Michael says YouTube TV. I don't know. Maybe that's great. You tell me, Michael, on YouTube TV, can you get everything that's been on every day for as long as you can remember? Because you can get that on AT&T Direct, which is terrific. I mean, it allows me to watch anything, everything. So I don't miss a thing. If YouTube TV does that, that's great too. Okay. Michael says unlimited recording. There you go. Well, that's what you should have in 2024. That's what you should have. And the point is, you could flip back to Rachel last night and you could hear all about the people in this country who are explicitly saying, I mean, they're not just hinting at it. They're not dancing around it. They are saying that they want to end democracy. These are leaders in the Republican Party, and even people who aren't leaders, just the followers in the Republican Party that are using the talking points of the party. It's not even Donald directly, although certainly Donald wants to do this, wants to end democracy. We know that. But these people are saying we must end democracy. And we can't allow the United States to send money to countries that are trying to establish democracy. You've got to hear the program. You've got to hear it. And it's not Rachel just saying it. She's playing the words of these people. Now, don't get me wrong. I know tapes are doctored. And believe me, OAN and Fox and Newsmax, yes, they doctor lots of film. And we've had evidence of that. There's not been one bit of evidence that MSNBC or CBS or ABC or CNN has doctored any tapes. None. Zero. Not one. But at the moment, Fox is in danger of being sued by Hunter Biden. And OAN is being sued or on the verge of being sued by Michael Cohen. Now, apparently, OAN has retracted all of its statements about Michael Cohen. They have said they made a mistake. They were wrong. What they said about Cohen was incorrect. They've said it, and if Michael Cohen thinks that's sufficient, then he won't sue. If there's something I've left out here, then maybe he will still sue. But they have definitely started to back down at OAN. They don't want to pay everything they earn for the rest of their lives. And they know that's exactly where it's headed when you get involved in defamation in 2024. Ask Donald. Ask Rudy Giuliani. They have paid, or at least been billed, hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, we know Giuliani can't pay, and we know that Donald isn't going to give him any money. Maybe Giuliani can find some people eating dog food who will send him a dollar at a time. I don't know. Probably not. But at any rate, there's no question that these so-called news networks or news organizations, whatever you would call them, because they're certainly not networks like NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN. They're just not. These are all exactly what Donald said that the others were. Donald said that the New York Times and Washington Post and you know, all the newspapers, all the legitimate newspapers, all the legitimate networks, that they were all fake news, that they were all lying. They just were making things up against him. It was all fake. Turns out, we now know they were fake. Donald was faking everything. How do we know? It's all being rolled out at the trial. If the jury believes it, and I'm sure they will, Donald will be convicted. And then, by virtue of the American system, you will have to say that it has been proven that Donald was the fake, not the New York Times, not the rest of the newspapers, not the rest of the radio stations, not the rest of the TV networks, only Donald. That will be proven if Donald is convicted, because that's the way our system works. If a jury says it, then we believe it. We have to. Because if we don't, we'll never have any way of measuring anything or agreeing to anything. When people commit a crime, if they're found guilty by a jury, that's the end of the conversation. Oh, there can be an appeal, but the appeals actually appeal the law, not the facts. The jury determines the facts. The appeals courts determine the law. So we'll see how this all comes out. But one thing for sure, OAN is running for the hills. They are backing down immediately on Michael Cohen. They don't want to take that chance. They've already seen what happens to somebody like Fox. They don't need a $1 billion judgment against them. So OAN is retracting. Now, there are others like Fox who may not. Fox has paid almost $1 billion. Was it $700 million? And now, here comes Hunter Biden, ready to sue for defamation of character. And, you know, everybody should have seen this coming. I wondered for a long time why he took it. All this nonsense about the laptop and the crime family and so forth. Obviously, none of it was true. Joe Biden hasn't stolen anything from anybody. Hunter Biden has a drug problem and some mental issues. He's struggled in his life. But people don't sue for defamation when they're in the wrong. They sue when they're in the right. They do it because it's an expensive proposition and you want to do it when you're going to win, not when you're going to lose. And in the case of Hunter Biden, he has held back for a very long time, not just because of win or lose, not just because of the price, but because of his father. He did not want to drag his father into this mess, but perhaps, and I hope this is the reason, perhaps the Biden people, the campaign, maybe said to Hunter, nah, go ahead. Do it. Let's show who these people are. Let's get them. And I hope he follows that, because Fox is either going to do one of two things. They're either going to end up paying a lot of money, and you can be sure that if there's a lawsuit against Fox, you're going to have everybody, lots of people, maybe not the craziest, but many people believing that Hunter Biden is right and Fox is wrong. Because when you enter into these lawsuits, we've seen how they end. And people are not stupid, and they can add up what's happened before, and they can see if it's happening now. They may start to believe that Hunter Biden is not what the Republican Party says. It was so foolish in the first place. This whole thing about the laptop. Everybody kept talking about the laptop, and every time you asked them about the laptop, they could never find a laptop. They never had a laptop, and when they finally did get a laptop, they had nothing in the laptop. I mean, the discussion is insane. Didn't make any sense, ever. Now, for whatever reason, Hunter Biden feels like he can jump out here and sue. Good for him. He should. Good for Joe Biden, because it's worth it to stand up against these people in a courtroom in the United States of America's legal system, a democracy that the Republican Party has said explicitly they would like to end. They want to end it. Talking about how in the good old days, women didn't vote. In the good old days, you didn't have to vote for your senators. Somebody else could vote for you. In the good old days, you definitely didn't vote for the president. No, they had this locked down, and we've changed it in a lot of ways and opened up the system. And the Republican Party is saying, we don't want democracy. And by the way, with 7 minutes left, you're welcome to call me. 314-471-1968. 314-471-1968. So anyway, the Republicans want to end democracy, and that's not surprising. And so we need to fight back. And that's why we're talking about it, because the media is coming. And yes, we are going to talk about it, of course. We're not going to take a night out to discuss why the Cardinals are in last place. Although they are in last place, that's pretty pathetic. And last I saw, well, I don't want to spread fake news. Let me just tell you the real score. Because actually, last I saw, it was 1-0. We were losing to Detroit, who is 16-12. And currently, the score in that first game, OMG, I'm in shock. Cardinals ahead 2-1, bottom of the ninth. And that means the pitcher is Helsley. Well, that's a way to play it. Okay, so I could be wrong about baseball. You know, there's something about the baseball gods that are completely different than everything else in the world. Everything else is decided by lots of different methods. But baseball, it's all simple. Whatever the gods want, they do. The baseball gods decide, and that's what happens. There's no fighting it. There's no getting new players or whatever. It's whatever they decide. That's how it goes. And it looks like tonight, they got me. I thought we were losing, and now we're winning, and I love that. That's great. If we can win that game and then the second game of the doubleheader, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. We could actually be 500. OMG, as they say. Well, anyway, let's get back to something more horrific. The meteor, which is coming. The only problem is that women have diverted the meteor. And I guess that's why these Republicans want to stop democracy, because if they could get rid of the woman's vote, they could probably elect Donald Trump for the rest of his life. If he's got 30 years left or 20 or 15 or whatever it is, he could get it all if he could just get rid of women. Unfortunately for him, and probably fortunately for the rest of us, can't get rid of women. So that's the end of Donald. But it is clear that the courts are playing a role in saving the democracy that we care about, all the way from Judge Mershon in Manhattan to Michael Cohen against OAN, Hunter Biden against Fox. I mean, this is what we need. We need people to fight back. Now, I was talking for a bit before the break about the protests, and I do want to finish on that because I have heard a lot of different things. I heard a guy this afternoon, a professor from Columbia, and he was talking about how Columbia needs to crack down on these kids. He wasn't saying to kill them or anything, although, you know, that's where it ended up at Kent State when we started getting crazy. That's, you know, 50 years ago. But the point is, he was saying that these kids are just kids and that they need to be shown how to do this correctly. And, you know, grown-ups have been telling kids that forever. I stood on the front line against the police in the fight to end the draft and to protect ourselves from the lies that had dragged us into Vietnam. I mean, I watched some kids next to me get their heads bashed in. Luckily, I was not one, but some did. That was at UCLA, and it was dangerous, and here we are again and doing things to kids. I know they talk about anti-Semitism. Let me say this. I am doing everything I can to get some people on the air from the protesters, because one thing I am positive of, you do not have a gigantic number of young people all over this country wanting to destroy Jews. That's not what this is about. There are a lot of people who are upset about how Israel has treated the Palestinians, and especially the 34,000 deaths of civilians. Now, do they all understand that the Palestinian fighters, Hamas, terrorists, hide behind civilians? Do they know that? I don't know. How about the fact that there are so many good people out here in Israel who would like a Palestinian state protected and rebuilt and supported? Like I've said, not this afternoon, because they remember the baby's heads, but they wanted it before and they'll want it again. Because the only way that we'll solve that problem, I do want to hear both the young people and I want to hear some of the faculty over at WashU that were arrested. I would love to hear from them, because I don't believe that for a minute that everybody, that all these young people at WashU are screaming the river to the sea, and they know that that means the extermination of Jews. I don't believe it. Now, they could prove it to me by getting on the air right here and saying, Kaysen, don't worry. That's what we want to do. We want to destroy Israel. Okay. If they say it, I'll believe them that they want to. I think they would be a little unrealistic, too, given the fact that Israel is one of the 9 countries in the world that has nuclear weapons. You're not going to destroy Israel. You're just not. The United States defends Israel. Israel's got nuclear weapons, 100 nuclear weapons right now in their arsenal. China's got 300. Israel's a powerful country. But the rest of the world, we could do a lot for the Palestinians, and we will under the right circumstances, but certainly not this afternoon. I understand that. Keep in mind, Wendy's, the St. Louis Suit Company, and Jules on Hampton. And remember this, the program is Showdown. And I'm Mark Kaysen. See you tomorrow. Good night.